Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I'm not even, when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Ugh. This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. With us here on Faith in Your Recovery, this is episode number 2 with Captain Adam Myers of a police department in Wisconsin. He shared with us the story of an incident he was forced to be a part of by his profession and by the moment, and had to make a decision nobody ever wants to make, and it ended up taking someone else's life. If you go back and listen in, you get that full story and the details, some of the effects that it's caused. You see the I Take Medication police tag on his vest there. He's got several tags and he's interchanged them often, and that's a powerful piece as far as the visual goes and as far as explaining where he's at now, who he is, and what he's about. Adam, thank you for being so transparent during our first episode, sharing that story. I can't imagine the emotional draw that had to be on you through the years, but you fought back to this point of recovery. We just finished the last episode by talking about mental health, and I have no idea what numbers are concerning mental health, but I know I lost my mom to a suicide. She took her own life when I was 23. And that was back in the day where we didn't know how to deal with that at all. That meant I was told more than once, you know, your mom was crazy. I had people telling me that face to face at 23. And, you know, I knew she had struggles. I didn't know how bad they were. Today, we've still got stigma and bias. It's not as great as it was, or we wouldn't be talking about it on this podcast. We wouldn't be allowed to,
exactly.
So go ahead, bring the folks up. What do you want them to know about those with mental health struggles and issues? You fought through your own as a result of this. It's not like we're pointing a finger. That's right. Not what we're about here. But go ahead, tell the folks, give them some encouragement and hope for themselves, for loved ones they may have that are dealing with mental health issues.
Absolutely. Thanks, Randy. I'm going to replace this patch, and I'm going to put this one on, and then I can show the other patches while we continue to talk. But I just want to say just what the patch says. It's okay to talk about your mental health. You're not alone. Please don't suffer in silence. There's so many people out there willing to help, and you're right, Randy. There is a stigma associated with mental health. I truly believe there always will be. I think it's going to get better. It's getting better right now because you and I are talking about things. And I'm sorry to hear about your mom. I can't even imagine going through that. I'm not going to act like I know. And I'm sorry to hear that. But it is important to talk about it. And I truly believe that many people don't seek help because they don't want to be shamed. They don't want to be criticized. They don't want to be labeled as crazy. I mean, I remember when I was hired by my new police department, and while I was interviewing at other police departments after I was terminated, I thought, nobody's going to hire me. I'm going to sit in this interview. They're going to listen to what I have to say, and they're going to be like, this guy's a nut. We're not going to hire him. And when I speak from my own experience, I truly believe other first responders, other police officers don't reach out for help. And most people don't reach out for help because of that stigma. Because what if I reach out for help and then I get labeled? What if I get suspended? What if I lose my job? Then how am I going to pay my mortgage, my rent, support my family? I've got kids. I've got a car payment, a boat payment. I got a snowmobile. I got all this stuff. So you know what? Like I did, I'm just going to keep going. It'll all fall into place. If I just keep going, things will get better. It's not. It didn't for me. And that's what I thought for years. I thought all I got to do is keep going and things will work itself out. It didn't. It didn't work itself out. I kept struggling, and I'm very lucky to be here.
We just, if we don't seek help, it will not get better on its own.
Exactly. It doesn't go away.
Yeah. You can put a Band-Aid on it with casual sex, with alcohol, with drugs, right. And that list continues longer than we want to make it, okay?
Absolutely.
And that stigma that goes with it. Folks, I want you to know something. Mental health's not contagious, okay? The problem, it's okay to talk to somebody about their issues if they're willing. You're not going to get them because you hear them. You rub elbows with them. It's not like poison ivy and going to get you there. I love these.
I see a therapist.
And
it's okay.
And even what adds to that, not just I see a therapist, but I'm police. And it's not a statement that lifts him above anybody, but the respect we have, we all struggle. I don't care what the occupation. It, in many ways, has nothing to do with the occupation, okay?
Right.
Some are more susceptible because of that occupation.
And you don't, and it's, you know, you don't have to tell everybody that you're seeing a therapist. You don't have to tell everybody that you're, you know, taking medication.
You said earlier.
Just do it. It helps. It's so helpful.
You don't wear those per se in public, okay?
Right.
It's not that you would. There's no shame in what they're saying, but those are being used for a purpose here today, as many of his props that he shared with us. And please, this is a statement from the past. Those who are struggling with mental health issues, sorry, they can't just snap out of it. They wish they could. They wish it was easy as saying, I'm over it tomorrow. You know, I'll work on it and get through that. It's not a matter of, pardon me, being off your rocker, being crazy, anything else. It's a health condition in the mind, in the head. Many times the right medication can put you back on the right track. Most of us take a pill of some sort because we're lacking or have too much of something in our system, and that reduces it. That doesn't make you a person who we should be uncomfortable being around or we should point out. We all have that, you know, those physical needs, whatever they may be. So as you fought through all of this, Adam, where has it brought you today? Tell us who the Adam in the mirror is, what he's about, what he's doing. Obviously, you're still on the police force. I think earlier you said you were like 50 years old. Yeah. 23 years experience in law enforcement. Okay. So.
Yep, Randy. Yep. This year I turned 50 years old. And so what happened at that other police department is I went on a leave of absence for 90 days and I had to take a psychological evaluation. And I have that psychological evaluation right here. And I remember driving to the evaluation, and initially I thought, you know what, I'm going to lie. I'm going to try to beat this test. You know, I can go back to work. I don't need to do this. But then when I'm sitting in the waiting room, I'm thinking, Adam, the only way you're going to get better is if you're honest. You have to be honest. You have to take this test honestly. And that's what I chose to do. And when I got the results back, I was diagnosed with major depressive disorder, PTSD, acute stress with dissociative features. But when I read this evaluation, I started crying. I was reading the inside and it explained who I was and so many answers to the questions I had over the years. So I chose, hey, let's take a 90-day leave of absence and let's go to therapy. And I did 2-3 times a week. I was doing really, really well. After that 90-day leave of absence expired, I met with my chief. It was a new chief. It wasn't the same chief that was with me during my shooting. And I was told, we're not extending your leave of absence. You can either resign or we're terminating you. And I thought it over and I said, I'm not quitting. And then they terminated me. So after 14 years of working at that police department, never being disciplined, receiving medals, receiving awards from senators, from representatives of the state, from police department, I was terminated. And I remember walking out of the police department thinking, what next? I really felt abandoned. I felt like they just washed their hands of me, like I wasn't their problem anymore. So what I did was I went home, and here's another thing. What if I would have went home and killed myself? Because all I wanted to do was be a cop all my life. And now I get terminated because of something that happened at work, something I had to do. What if I would have went home and killed myself? How do you follow up with an employee that's not an employee anymore? I don't know the answer to that, but spoke with my sister and she said, won't you move down by us? That's 3.5-4 hours away. And I told her, I don't have hardly any money. And she said, Adam, all you have to do is get down here and we'll take care of the rest. So I did. I moved down and moved into my sister's basement. And we joked that, hey, at least it's not mom and dad's basement. So you're doing okay. And then behind my back, she was looking for a therapist for me because I wasn't seeing a therapist at the time. I wasn't on medication. I knew that it would probably be a good idea for me to do that, but I wasn't taking the steps I needed to do that. But she found a therapist for me, and it's who I see now. And after about a year of putting myself first, going to therapy, getting on medication, getting healthier, I thought, you know what? I want to be a cop again. I still have a lot left in the tank. I have a lot of training, a lot of experience that most people don't have, especially when it's related to my shooting and mental health. So I started applying and I was hired. I sent applications to 50 police departments within a 30-mile area. And the next day after I mailed these applications out, police departments started calling me and wanting to schedule interviews. And I started going to interviews and, you know, virtual interviews and in-person interviews. I'm like, wow, people want me. And there was a time that in a 2-week period, 3 police departments in 3 separate counties offered me conditional offers of employment. So I chose the department that I'm working at now. And shortly after I was hired at this police department, I was promoted to captain. And my chief, Sean McGee, is great. He supports me 100%. I know he's genuine. Our police department has a lake patrol. We even have a therapy dog, which is great. We were out on our boat and the chief said, you know, Adam, I know that you speak about mental health and I support you. And if you want to continue to do that, go ahead. And you can even wear your police uniform if you want. And I was like, wow, this guy gets it. And he supports me. And that means so much to me.
That shows so now, it wasn't just his care for you. His fellow officers that gave you the freedom, it would open up the freedom to them as well. So
absolutely. And there's been an officer that even spoke to me about like, hey, maybe I'm going to go see a therapist. Maybe it's time. And I'm like, hey man, that's great. You know, I'm not going to talk about your business. You ever want to talk to me about anything? The captain bars come off. You're talking to Adam. That's more important. You know, if I have to stop being a police officer to support somebody or be there for somebody, then I'm taking the badge off. I'm hanging it up because that's speaking about your mental health and helping other people. That's bigger than me.
That's life.
I mean, that's right. And that's more important than the job I have. I mean, you can always find another job, but you can't always be there for somebody when they need to. You should, you have opportunities, but are you going to do it? You know, so being there for people and sharing my experience, that's what it's all about. And you know, I'm religious. I was born and raised Lutheran. I was baptized. I was confirmed. I was an acolyte, youth group, church every Sunday. And I truly believe I'm here speaking with you, Randy, because this is the journey that God wants me on. Doesn't matter what I want. Doesn't matter if I like the process I went through. This is what he wants me to do, and I'm doing it. And once I realized that and accepted it, I'm good. I feel great.
I think there's something scriptural about that when we place him first, Everything else falls into place, and that includes we've got to put his will first if we want to be who we were created to be. And obviously yours was a role in law enforcement. You've done your best to fulfill that and to make that happen. Adam, lots of times as you've shared here, the things you've said have caused, have caused me to think back to some of my friends and situations they've been through in ministry. Maybe turn their back on their obedience to God or whatever the situation may be, you know, an affair, whatever. And all of a sudden, the church is kicking them out. They're losing their job. Their bishop or superintendent's gotten a hold of them. They're no longer welcome in ministry. Their whole world crashes in a matter of moments. Where do they go for help? You made the comment earlier, I don't know how you deal with someone. You've just, you know, let go. They're no longer your employee. And I see that in situations. We've got to think through the moment. I'm not saying they should be doing active ministry tomorrow or be in the pulpit this Sunday. You know, they do need help, but how are we set up to help them? It's not just washing your hands and turning away from them. We've got to help them through the moment, or as you said, what if they go home and decide suicide's the only way out of this? We could have maybe helped in that situation. So I see a great deal of parallel there. Something I'm very interested in is your nonprofit organization that you've set up, Stop the Threat, Stop the Stigma. Is that in the right order?
It is. You're right.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead and explain that to us, how that works, what it's about.
Sure. I'm the founder of Stop the Threat, Stop the Stigma. I began speaking about my critical incident and my mental health in 2019 at a college in Wisconsin. And in 2020, I created a Facebook page. And then in 2021, I officially created Stop the Threat, Stop the Stigma. And I did that in hopes that by sharing my experience, it'll inspire other law enforcement officers, those who work in the public safety profession, first responders, really anybody, even if you're unemployed, to reach out for help. It's okay to talk about your mental health. And like I said before, you're not alone. Please don't suffer in silence. You know, if you can't talk like we're talking, Randy, technology is great. We have cell phones, we have laptops, we have computers. There's so many ways. And you, in the privacy of your own home, you can log on to something and just say, I'm feeling depressed. And it'll pop up different resources. Even if you don't know what you're going through, reaching out to tell somebody, I don't know what I'm going through. I'm struggling. I'm feeling bummed out. I'm feeling depressed. I need help, but I don't know what to do. There's people out there that will help you. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go to my website, StopTheThreatStopTheStigma.org, there's resources there as well. My phone number's on there. You can call me. You can text me. And if I can't help you, I'll do my best to lead you in the right direction. And, you know, Randy, when you're talking about how do you reach out to people, very simple. It's not easy to do, or more people would do it, but very simple. Send a text. For example, you know, hey, Adam, I care about you. I hope you're doing okay. If you need anything, let me know. So many people did that to me. And
what
I remember
was that,
reading those messages.
What was that worth to you at that time, Adam? That simple text that probably took that individual less than 30 seconds.
Right. Somebody's there for me. Somebody loves me. Somebody's thinking about me. You know, most times I would read it and I wouldn't respond. But I still knew there was somebody there. And that means everything. At least it did for me. When you're going through something and you know somebody is there and that supports you, that means everything. And, you know, I talked about my chief at the time of my shooting. His name was Chief Cal Smokowitz, and he supported me 100%. And almost immediately, he reached out to the media and said, I support him. And when I saw that, I have his comment right here in a frame. And I printed that thing off. I put it in a frame and I sat it on my desk, because when you're at work and you're having a crappy day, or you're feeling stressed, or you're a mess and you don't really know what you're feeling, I looked at that and I'm like, hey, my chief supports me. I know he does. And I also knew he was genuine, because I would be out of sight down the hallway. I could hear him in his office defending me, speaking to people. Hey, Officer Myers did this. This is why. So I knew it was genuine. I knew he wasn't BSing me when he said he supported me. And then he even told the media, quote unquote, I support him. That means everything. And no matter who your boss is, when you know your boss supports you and you're having a bad day, that's important.
Let's go back to the ultimate boss. You mentioned your faith in our first episode. Did you ever feel or even make up in your mind the idea that God wasn't in support of you, that he had turned his back on you? How could you be worthy any longer? Hit on some of that here.
Well, Randy, I was pretty pissed off at God, I'll admit. I mean, there were many nights that him and I had some conversation and I wasn't very happy with him.
They weren't real prayerful.
Oh, no. I mean, if I could have recorded that conversation, it would have been like, wow, you said that? Yeah, I absolutely did. So I was pretty pissed off, especially when I prayed that night and found out the next day that Melissa died. I'm sitting, yeah, thanks. That prayer really worked. And then there were times that I prayed to God, can you just not have me wake up in the morning, or can you hit a fast forward button? I think I was just trying to put the blame on somebody. But as I got healthier and as I continued to go and move on, I realized that, yeah, I went through hell because God wanted me to face certain demons. God wanted me to go through what I went through, because this is the journey that he wanted me to be on. He wanted me to sit here and speak with you, Randy, and your audience about what I'm going through. He wanted me to be transparent. He made me stronger. I'm a better person now. I'm a better cop. I'm a stronger person. I'm a better father. It just, I didn't see it when I was going through it. And yeah, I mean, I wasn't very happy with him.
We don't usually see the extent of the storm until it's behind us.
Exactly.
And we look back and see what it's torn apart or caused to fall apart. And such it is with our lives, I believe. In the middle of a crisis, we don't see God at work. We wonder why he isn't showing us the next good thing that we need. And so we continue to hang in there. What kept you on the good path? I know you said you grew up Lutheran, you were involved with the church and God through the church in many different ways, but what was it that kept you on the path in your spiritual journey as well as your recovery journey?
I just knew deep down God was with me. Even when I was going through all the crap I was going through, I knew that God was with me. And I fell back on my faith many times and remember different times in my life where, you know, I made it through, and I made it through by the grace of God. I kept going because deep down I knew, you know, I had faith. I knew it was going to get better. I just had to keep going. I didn't know it was going to take years. I didn't know it was going to take like 9 years.
That's a long time to wander in the wilderness, but
I was wandering. I mean, it was, but then I look back and God blessed me. God truly blessed me. He made everything okay. He helped me get through that because I survived and I'm here today. And so I just fell back on my faith, and I didn't go to church all the time, but I did here, there. And, you know, when I did go to church, I truly thought that when the pastor was preaching or saying a sermon, he knew what I was going through. He was talking to me, and I'm thinking, wow, how did he know this was all going on? I mean, even now. So I'm thinking, I know that has to do with God.
You know, I
absolutely know it. There's no question in my mind.
Awesome. I think a Jelly Roll song it's not okay, but it's all going to be all right. Sometimes we've just got to hold on one more day. Then the next one, you know, God makes it clear in Jeremiah, his plans for us are not to harm us or to hurt us, but to give us and to make us a blessing. And so we stay in there. It's going to happen. Let's go back now to stop the threat, stop the stigma. How is it going? Is it doing what you hoped it would do? What kind of reports are you receiving? Is it the success that you kind of goaled? Or tell us about that.
Well, it's great. I never thought it would be the way it is now. I still remember I was sitting in a training and trying to figure out the name of it, you know, stop the threat, stop the stigma. What was I going to do? And, you know, stop the threat is, as police officers, we're trained to stop the threat, stop the stigma. It's more, you know, dealing with mental health, but also stopping the threat is stopping the threat of not getting help for mental health, the threat of losing your job, the threat of dying by suicide, the threat of losing your family. So stop the threat, stop the stigma. It's huge. It's doing more than I ever expected. I mean, I've reached out to police officers in the UK, in Canada, in Germany, in South Africa, in Australia, also in the United States. And I've found that we're all connected one way or another through mental health. It doesn't matter where we live. We can all relate one way or another. And when I speak publicly, it's great. Because so many people come up during breaks or after I speak and they say, hey, Adam, keep doing what you're doing because this is what happened to me. Another person will say, this is what happened to my boyfriend. I remember I was sitting on the couch one morning, sipping coffee, watching the news, and I received a message from a therapist that I had never met before. And she goes, you don't know who I am, but a police officer came and saw me today because they heard you speak and thought it was time for them to get help. And I'm thinking, wow. I don't even know who that police officer was, but I know he's getting help now because all I did was share my experience.
There's not a bigger check than that. You don't receive a bigger check than that.
It's great. You know, one time I went to a field training officer conference hours away from where I was a police officer up north. And I'm thinking this, I was a little nervous because I'm always a little nervous when I talk, but that's good. It helps you. But I'm thinking, We're hours away. I'm not going to recognize anybody. And then when I get there, I knew almost a lot of people. And I'm thinking, man, this is going to be, you know, but I shared my experience just like I did all the other times. And my youngest daughter was with me and we stopped at a restaurant and got a big old platter of cheese curds and started driving back home. And I got a message from a female deputy and she said, thank you so much for speaking at the conference. My boyfriend, who's also a deputy, is struggling with some things because he lost his father. And you answered so many questions just by sharing your experience. And I'm thinking, that's what it's all about, because you never know if you get through to people. But when you hear that, that's what it's all about. Because there's even times that I think, you know, I'm done. I'm not gonna do this anymore. It's just, you know, I get triggered or it's too stressful at times. But when you get a message like that, that just gives you a shot of energy to keep going because you know you're making a difference. And
I get that. That's an immediate, I call it Holy Spirit adrenaline rush, okay?
Absolutely.
You just recognize in that moment I was where God wanted me to be. The other side of that coin is how many of those moments do I miss being where God wants me to be? And kind of a humbling factor as well, but it's also so beneficial for us all. And I've got to ask the question. It's not a deep one. You're mentioning the cheese curds. Cheese curds, Wisconsin. That means Culver's around here, okay?
That was Culver's. That's where I went. Absolutely. Peyton and I went to Culver's, and, man, them cheese curds, I'm telling you, my mouth is watering right now. It's delicious.
Yeah.
And the family size, it was like almost like a bottomless pit. I remember driving and just continuing to eat them. They were so good.
So I think I've come to know you well enough. God will determine this. But what are your future plans with the ministry you have, whether you call it that or not? It's certainly reaching out. It's bringing hope, help, healing, and I'm sure even saving lives. What's your next step in all of this, or where are you headed, Adam?
I just want to continue what I'm doing. I mean, right now I'm doing podcasts here and there, and I'm writing articles about my experience. And when people reach out wanting me to speak in person, I do that. I think I just let things develop as they develop. I let God lead the way. And, you know, maybe right, you know, this year I do podcasts. Maybe next year I speak at more churches. I mean, it's just, I just keep going until something else happens. And it's truly important to share my experience. And I've realized that it's bigger than me. Those moments where I think I want to stop doing it, I really don't have a choice. It's bigger than me. And if that means continuing to be a police officer and doing what I'm doing now, or kind of hanging up the badge and continuing to share my experience, that's what's more important.
You'll be okay with it.
I would.
You will be okay with it. Yeah.
Yep. And because I was able to get back on the job, and I'm going on 3 years now, and I love being a cop, but sharing my experience and helping others is more important. So if there comes a time, and I think I know when that time will happen. When I realize it, I'll be like, all right, I'm done. You know, but I'm not going to give this up.
I can assure you, you will. You're speaking of my life and my story very parallel when you mentioned those last few things there. God's never given me what I call a true vision, probably because he knows I'll mess it up. I'll manipulate it or try to recreate it. But by the day he can lead me, and I think I can follow that day. I believe that with all my heart. And it turns into these kind of moments. I had no idea what retirement would mean to me. It has been at least 185 episodes of this podcast, and it's much bigger than that. And it's been everything I could have dreamed of. But if he'd told me 10 years ago I retired seven, if he'd have told me 10 years ago, it wouldn't be where it's at today. I would have fumbled it big time. So I'll take that advice on a daily basis. Anything else you want folks to know before we get wrapped up here about your story, or a challenge you want to give, or an explanation? Well, here, let me ask you a more specific question. So I've got a friend who's struggling with mental health issues. What can I do for him or her as just somebody with no, you know, training in the field or anything? What can I do?
First and foremost, let them know that you care. Let them know that you're there. You don't need training. I mean, sure, I'm a police officer. I'm also a certified peer specialist in Wisconsin, but you don't need to be any of that. A simple text or a simple phone call. And even if they don't answer the phone call, leave a message. Hey, it's Randy. Just checking in on you. Are you okay? If you need something, let me know. I care about you. That means so much. And, you know, if you're struggling and you don't know what's going on, but you know something's going on, but you can't explain it, reach out to somebody that you know. And if you don't have anybody, you can always go to a local hospital and talk to a nurse and say, I don't know what's going on, but something's not right. I need help. And that's okay. We need to normalize mental health. We need to normalize those conversations. And you know what? I'm guilty of that too. In earlier in my career, there were people I probably could have reached out that were struggling or that had internal affairs investigations. And I'm like, well, I don't know. So I'm just going to keep my distance because I don't know how it would look on me. But it's so easy to reach out to people who are struggling just by texting, by sending a message.
We don't really have an excuse not to help.
Exactly.
You know, we don't have to know the story, but if they're hurting, we can recognize they're hurt. We don't have to know they're hurt, but just let them know I care. You know, I'll be there in any way you need me. You let me know. And in some cases, and I'm sure you have those people in your life, I don't need for them to let me know. I know when they're struggling, and I can go there and be welcome. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Today, the excuses are gone, folks. Let's tack this mental health thing in a very healthy, supportive, caring, sharing, loving way. Through God, number one, use the heart he gave you, the sensitivity. And if you're thinking it, I can't guarantee, but odds are you're probably right in your thinking that that friend's struggling or it wouldn't have been brought to mind and heart. Adam, as I listen to the personal things, I've never had any interest in being involved in law enforcement, but I feel like that traditional brother from another mother kind of relationship with you here. And so many of the things you've said just drove the nail deeper into the wood that I stand on for my own foundation. Your willingness to offer what you have and to divulge the information and the struggles. If you're out there, folks, help is available. Adam, tell them how they can get a hold of you. I know a little bit ago you kind of offered that, but tell them how to do that. I don't want to fall short on that.
Sure. You can visit stopthethreatstopthestigma.org. And while you're visiting there, my email is on every page there. You can email me at adam@stopthethreatstopthestigma.org. And my cell phone number is on there. My actual cell phone number to this cell phone, you can text me, you can call me, and I'll do my best to respond. I'll do my best to help in whatever way possible. And if I can't, I'll provide resources. I mean, just like Randy said, you know, if you know somebody who's struggling, I had friends, many friends, that I would just go over to their house, have a meal with them, order a pizza, and just be present with them. You don't even have to talk about it, just to be there for somebody. And visit my website. There's resources, and you can even reach out to me, and I'll do my best to help.
I'm blown away by that offer. I know it's genuine. And folks, we sometimes worry we don't want to get in contact with somebody local, and that's mainly because of the stigma that's been placed on things. Here's an individual from Wisconsin that'd be glad to sit down and have cheese curds with you and talk this over. So make that call, make that contact. You're certainly welcome at our organization, A Better Life, Brianna's Hope, ablbh.org. Get a hold of us. Let us know. Before we close here, once again, Adam, thank you for your time, your energy, your spirit and your heart, and thank you for the work that you do. God bless, and I can tell he already has, but keep it up.
Thank you, Randy. God bless. Appreciate it.
Folks, thanks for listening in. If you didn't hear the first part of this, go back to the previous episode. That'll tie it all together. Next week, we're going to have with us Mike Smith. Mike's got an incredible story of all that he's battled and all that he's been through. He's had some military time. He's got a lot of things to share with us that you're not going to want to miss. Mike's a little rough, it sounds like, and I look forward to that. And I know we're going to be blessed. So, connect with us again at Faith in Your Recovery. Next Wednesday, we'll be live at 4 o'clock EST time. We love you. Thank you. God bless you. And as always, stay in the battle.